Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 404. This is Kevin DeFrango, and I went to WWE Raw last night. And our good buddy, Steve Williams, was just at SmackDown and is probably enjoying 205 Live at the current moment as we speak. And we will have him on tomorrow. As agreed to on Twitter earlier. And I love the look on Jeremy's face. He is one of the people joining me tonight. Jeremy Mays, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, what's going on? Sorry, all of a sudden something started playing on my computer, like piano music. And I was totally lost where it was coming from. And apparently George H.W. Bush is in the hospital again. That was the introduction music for that sad news, so...
Oh.
Yep. So breaking news here when you hear this tomorrow. Yes. Oh, and I went to NXT in Concord, North Carolina. So.
Yeah, so we definitely have a live experience vibe. Chris, sir, you have been to a couple of Raws within the recent past. So you have certainly had a live experience of your own.
Yes, I have had plenty of live experiences this year. Unfortunately, none of them this week. So I'll be relying on you guys to talk about the awkward. I would be relying on you, Kevin, to talk about the awkward long pauses where wrestlers just stand in the middle of the ring during commercial breaks while videos are playing.
Kind of like that one.
Yeah.
Definitely, you don't get at a live event, so that's nice. At least an NXT event, if there's silence there, that's only because it's like intermission. But even then, they packed. I mean, as soon as they say we're going to intermission, you were supposed to text, your vote or whatever for whatever classic NXT match classic WWE match you wanted to see. And the problem is, at Cabarrus Arena, your connection is basically a string in one tin can. So I couldn't, if I wanted to tweet or send pictures or do anything, I couldn't do it. Unless I wanted to pay $10 for Wi-Fi access for the day.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
I'm going to be here 2 hours. I mean, 2.5 hours. It's not cost effective, so.
Yeah, both arenas, Schottenstein and Nationwide Arena, have free Wi-Fi. So, the fact that they're making you pay at all is hilarious.
Well, Cabarrus Arena is apparently a very famous old wrestling arena. And they just renovated it and all that stuff. And I can tell why, because it's in the middle of nowhere. We drove through a town. We stopped at two breweries before. But we on the way there, we went through town. So literally a one-light town. And then this place appears out of nowhere. So I guess because it only seats like 1,500 people, it's a good arena to go to. Because Charlotte doesn't have anything that small.
Gotcha.
It's not, I don't know. For my lifestyle, it's not travel friendly, and that's why my buddy Frazier drove. So. Because the breweries were excellent beforehand. So.
Oh, yeah. So that, so you went without your wife.
Yeah. Then. Yeah.
And, that was definitely an interesting part of my experience, is that I did not have the wife in attendance, so that meant more Facebooking and more tweeting as an overall whole.
Wait, did you go alone?
Yeah.
Wow, I cannot say I've ever done that before.
I've done that, too. That's a little... Kevin had a different experience than... I did when I went to my one or two events by myself. Because you were around families, right?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. There were some other gentlemen just to the right of me. There were about four of them close to our age. And outside of that, though, it was all families. Like, the woman beside me was laughing at just about anything. She, I did not write about her at all, but she had a good time, and yeah, like there's a difference in attendance, persons around you, depending upon where you buy your tickets. And,
well, I was on the floor for NXT, so you can imagine what was sitting around me. So, wrestling fans. And I did tell my wife that I did recognize one guy from last time we were there. He was about 5 foot, about 350, wearing like a triple extra large pro wrestling is real shirt. Which I distinctly remember from the last time. And it made sense because he was on the floor. So, but yeah, I was around a bunch of the people that, you know, they know everything. And when they had, I got a rematch of Andrade Cien Almas and, I always forget his first name.
Oni Lorcan?
No, from the pay-per-view who made his debut.
Oh, Aleister Black?
Thank you. I was super excited about that because I like Andretti. And, you know, like I said, I don't know much about Alistair. And I was like, this is going to be great. And I heard one of the guys behind me using the same words. So I turned around to make sure they weren't mocking me. And it turns out they were. I didn't tell you about this. And I just turned around to him and I'm like, Are you guys talking to me or something? They're like, no. I'm like, all right, because I'm here to enjoy myself. And they just shut up, and they just, you know, talked amongst themselves. I was like, I couldn't believe, one, they would do that, two, that they wouldn't expect somebody to turn around and, you know, confront them about it. But they behaved themselves the rest of the time, or they were just smart enough and kept it under their breath. So... But yeah, that was a good match too. It should have gone. I wanted it to go like 20 more minutes, but they went 10, and they beat the hell out of each other. It was great. But unlike the main event where they didn't, it was, hey, Dash got hurt last night. We can't have anybody else get hurt, so we're going to do a 25 minute comedy match with 5 minutes of wrestling. And the crowd loved every second of it.
Well, hey, that's all that matters. I'll admit, I got one hell of a crowd pleaser in the main event of Raw.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to see something that's only happened two other times in WWE history. I guess it doesn't get any better than that.
Jeremy and I talked a little bit earlier today, and you were talking about how they had set it up the whole match, and like everyone was so ready for it to happen, and they kept on getting bummed out when it didn't happen. And then when it did happen, I mean, that, when you get your best response of the night at the end of the night, like that, you know, you can't really top that.
Well, it's like the old days. Remember those old Raws? They go off the air, and you were like, holy crap, like you didn't want the show to end? I wanted to see what was going to happen after that. And, like, I mean, now with how it works today, we have to see what happened after it was off the air. But, yeah, that was exciting. I mean, even if we've seen it before, That's still really cool.
It was awesome.
Watch, yeah. And if you watch ESPN, they treat it as real. Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it a few times, as I mentioned to you, Jeremy, just to see the referee go flying. And...
Oh, that was amazing.
But did you see the opposite view? It was on the opposite side. So you actually saw the referee fall out of the ring.
Yeah, like I could not see him in the ring. Because like he was on the far side of where I was. So like he just kind of got engulfed, because he was like, you could see it in some of the other angles later that I end up watching. But at the time, yeah, like, I was like, where the hell did he go? It just looked like the ring swallowed him. And then, you know, upon further review, it got clarified. But it was still a crazy bump to see from that angle. He just disappeared.
Not only that, he got caught in the ropes on the way out. Like, he fell out. And he got buried under like two of the ropes somehow.
Yeah,
that's just fantastic. And it was funny seeing that. Well, one, how pissed off would we all be if they wouldn't have done that? Because they teased that the entire match. They teased it their first match, and then if that doesn't happen and Strowman just beats him, you know, there's part of me that's like, kind of, I don't know, that would have been kind of funny, actually.
The thing is, every time they teased it, it was Big Show on offense. And, you know, I wasn't in there live, so I couldn't, you know, like, I felt it was coming, but I knew it couldn't happen with Big Show on offense. It was going to have to be Braun Strowman delivering the move.
Yep. And even in the past, wasn't it, it was always somebody else suplexing Big Show.
Right, yep.
That's exactly Mark Henry and Brock Lesnar, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, and the interesting part is, I don't know if they, didn't sound like they played it up or if they're going to. Remember when they did it with Brock Lesnar and Big Show? They were both down and out, being tended to as the show went off the air. Mm-hmm. Braun Strowman got up.
Yeah, that was, I was so jazzed when I saw him stand up. I was like, oh my god, this is fantastic. And this is the same guy that just appeared out of nowhere, what, less than a year ago? Or maybe a year ago now?
Yeah, a little more than a year ago now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still firmly on that bandwagon. So I'm not going to hijack the show and just start pontificating about it. But that was great last night.
Well,
Still no merchandise, by the way.
I mean, I don't know if it's really pontificating at this point, because, I mean, you don't give a guy that spot if you don't like him.
Yeah.
You know, like Chris said, like, it's only two other people have gotten this spot. So, I mean, and it's Brock Lesnar and Mark Henry. Like, I mean, both of them make a lot of sense why it happened.
But I do feel like the Mark Henry one has been largely forgotten. I mean, they did it in the middle of the show. They put the ring back together and the show continued. I feel like that one was kind of a waste.
Okay, I was actually wondering about that, because I remember seeing that, but I don't remember what pay-per-view that was. And with the ring falling apart, I figured that'd be a main event or something, but...
No, I think it was like in the middle of the show, and they put it back together and continued the show. If I remember correctly. All
right.
I wasn't watching, because that was in the $60 pay per view era that I wasn't watching all these damn B shows.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, and I just checked. Still no Braun Strowman merchandise. So
damn. What are they thinking at this point?
It's ridiculous. Well, he's a bad guy. Clearly, by the crowd reaction he gets, you know. Although, they were cheering Big Show when Big Show attacked him before. I'm sorry, Kevin. That's what it sounded like, at least.
It was kind of interesting, because everyone was cheering Strowman at the beginning because he had beaten up Roman Reigns. But the crowd during the main event ended up kind going a little split. You know, because there were some Let's Go Big Show and Let's Go Strowman chants dueling a bit. Strowman was probably bigger than Big Show as far as participation goes, but there were some people wanting Big Show to win the match.
Which is funny, because wasn't it just a few months ago people were chanting, "Please retire," at him?
Yes.
Definitely a year ago. But that's when he came back, and he was in incredible shape, and somehow he magically crossed that line into a legend, into legendary status. Damnedest thing, but you know, good for Big Show. I love Big Show.
I
wonder if word about him retiring has kind of gotten out too, because he said that was his last WrestleMania. And apparently after the show went off the air, I didn't get a chance to watch the footage. He was pretty emotional after that last night.
Huh.
As if they were writing him off, which would be kind of strange. But
oh,
strange way to write him off, at least.
Yeah.
But he's been around for a good while, especially someone his height, too.
Yeah.
Size, for that matter.
Yeah, I've got to agree with Chris. Like, I think everyone, like, the shape that he's in, like, I don't know if he was in that good a shape when he first came in.
No,
he didn't
not
have
at
those
all.
Abs, definitely not, no.
But, I mean, he wasn't as big as he usually was the last few years either, though. So, I mean...
No, he gained a lot of weight.
So, yeah, I do think that him getting in that kind of shape this late in his career maybe got some people to zip their lips about wanting Big Show to retire.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, I'm sure wear and tear, but he's made it pretty clear this is it for him. And I think even Mark Henry said that was it, and Kane's running for mayor, so he's done for a while, I guess. I don't know, Rhino came back while he was running for mayor. Or Senate, whatever it was.
He was running for the State House of Representatives,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Interesting career choice. Run for government and come back to wrestling. So, one of them worked out, so that's nice. But yeah. No, it's funny, though, because we both got to see something, like, kind of important. Because at my NXT show, the last match was... Shinsuke and Ty Dillinger versus Dawson and Bobby Roode, since Dash couldn't go because of his broken jaw. And it was the main event. The semi main event was Asuka and Ember Moon, who I don't know if this has come off on TV. Ember Moon is short, and I didn't realize how short she was. Like, they make a big deal out of Alexa Bliss. She's not much taller than Alexa Bliss. In person, at least. But those two beat the bejesus out of each other for about 20, 25 minutes. And then the main event, all the guys, like I said, it was just pure comedy for the first 15, at least. I was like, wow, what a stark contrast. And Asuka did the same thing, where this time she pushed the referee out of the ring. And then as he was coming back in, he did the count. It was like, why isn't that a disqualification? It makes no sense whatsoever. But
yeah, second time maybe starts to develop a pattern,
yeah.
I'd have to say.
Oh, and the crowd didn't boo. So, but yeah, they packed the second half of that show, because after the break it was... Authors of Pain and DIY. And the best thing they've done with NXT is having Finn Balor lose to Joe at a house show. Because the end of that was a tremendous match, too. Authors of Pain still got a ways to go with their facials. Those are two giant men. I mean, I understand Ciampa and Gargano aren't exactly the biggest.
Right.
It didn't matter. I mean, they were over the crowd. hovering over the crowd tall. So, the end of the match, you know, DIY gets ready to do their double kick to the head. That place was going bananas. Because I was like, and I was grabbing my friend Fraser's shoulder, like, is this really going to happen? Is this actually going to happen? And then, of course, Authors of Pain, that wasn't going to get kicked. He grabbed Ciampa, I think. And then they gave, like, whatever their finisher to Gargano, and that was the end. But one funny thing, and this is really the end of my NXT stuff, is the main event was cool. They all said bye. Well, during the beginning of the show, this one guy comes in and sits down. He's like a bigger black guy. So we're talking. He's pretty docile the whole time. He's not really cheering. He's not really saying much or anything. So then all of a sudden, after the break, the Authors of Pain music starts. He goes nuts for him. And he's bagging on Ciampa and Gargano. We're like, oh, that's fine. And then he started going, yeah, they're Puerto Rican. They're Puerto Rican. And I was like, I don't think they're Puerto Rican, actually. And I was like, are you just cheering for the dark-skinned guys over the white guys? And then he just started laughing. So they're, you know, he's going on and on and on. So they go, he goes nuts. And I try to tell the guy, he's like, well, one of them's Albanian. I don't think they're Puerto Rican. And he's like, ah, don't matter. Look at him. I'm like, okay, I see where this is going. Cool. So I think the next match, I believe, was Asuka and Ember Moon. Logic would dictate he's going to be firmly in Ember Moon's corner. As soon as Ember Moon comes out, boo! Boo! I'm like, what the hell? And then he's going nuts for Asuka. So finally I turned to him, I was like, who are you? I was like, where did you come from? You were docile the entire show. I was like, I can't understand your racism. And he just started laughing. And it was all good fun, so he's having a good time with it. Totally confused. And then at the end, he was cheering for Shinsuke. No, he was cheering for Dillinger and Bobby Roode. And his friend was cheering for Shinsuke. No, wait, I got it backwards. Regardless, the guys who he was cheering for made no sense. So it added some fun to it. But then as soon as that match was over, people stuck around. Because they knew, like, the speeches and all that stuff were coming, so. Which the sound system compares to garbage, so. But that was a highlight of my, stuff. It was just a fun show to be around, like, you know, people who were buying into the show and just watching, so. You know, except for a couple people who got put in their place, so.
Yeah, but. I did not even have to worry about that. Everyone just seemed to enjoy it, which I was all for. And, you know, that's the first time in a while that I haven't felt like, oh my god, I'm in a 3-hour show.
Yeah, Raw was actually, even on TV, it wasn't that bad. I know I missed about an hour of it, so maybe that's why. But, you know, watching those highlights after were awesome.
Well, and that was part of the reason why we went 3-man booth, since Chris actually watched all of it, and I sat through it.
And you missed all of SmackDown, I believe.
Well,
right?
I'm already up to Naomi versus Charlotte here. Is just underway. So.
Yeah. Can't really talk about that one yet then, so. But
yeah,
no, I mean, from what I saw on Raw, I like the beginning where Braun comes out, is like saying his one word sentences or like one line sentences. Angle comes out and he's like, I should suspend you. I was like, yeah, that's reasonable. I can understand that. And he says, give me competition. I was like, Kurt, just listen to him. Just give him what he wants. And he didn't listen, so.
Well, in the end, he ended up listening. Well, no, he never really listened. Big Show kind of forced it upon him.
Which was funny, because did the crowd cheer when Big Show attacked him? Because it sure sounded like it on TV.
Yeah.
Confusing-ass people.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it was a little bit of a split crowd. And yeah, I don't know. I guess they didn't want to see Kalisto get thrown in the trash.
That's all right. You
okay,
know,
I'm gonna talk about that.
Is that kind of symbolic? Because I was like, oh, yeah, poor little guy, gonna just toss him like a bag of trash. That's,
they,
that was
and
rude.
They, I mean, they went all in on that one. I mean, they literally had a barrel filled with trash. Or at least trash bags filled with something. It may have
actually
been
Columbus. That's easy to find.
So. Yeah. It may have actually. I don't even know if it was a. It may have been a shoot trash barrel. I don't know. Poor guy. I mean, this is literally his first night on his new show.
Oh, God, that's right. It was.
And then that's what they had for him. He was literally thrown into the trash.
Yeah, as soon as they picked him up, and I was like. Ah, they trying to tell us something, but eh.
Yeah,
it's also a dick move too. So
yeah, and that might have been what turned the crowd against Braun Strowman picking on poor Kalisto. Because I don't think anyone cared that he picked on Goldust and R-Truth.
Nor should they.
No.
Oh man, but that was pretty bad that Kalisto got tossed there. Like, well, maybe he won't be a star on 205 Live.
Isn't that where he should be, anyways? I mean, it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess putting him on Raw brand made sense because they have the cruiserweights, but putting him on Raw doesn't make sense because only the top four probable cruiserweights actually get onto Raw at all. He ain't one of them, at least not yet. Oh. So it's like, just let him travel with the SmackDown brand. It seems to make a little more sense, but...
I kind of feel bad. Some of the cruiserweights are doing double duty on Raw and SmackDown.
Got to make that money somehow.
Yep.
So, suffer, boyos. Yeah, but no. What was your? You enjoyed going live?
Yeah. I mean, because it was, like I said, it was the first show in a, because that was pretty crazy when I was looking up. I couldn't believe I actually found a site that listed what dates all the WWE events were in Columbus. Because I just forget which ones I've been to. And there hasn't been a SmackDown here since 2012. And that was...
Wow.
They've all been Raws or Money in the Bank. So...
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's been a little weird.
Chris, you went to Detroit for Raw, right?
Yeah.
And then were you in Wisconsin for SmackDown?
No, I don't know. It was Green Bay for Raw as well. I did two Raws in 2 weeks, yeah.
I wonder why SmackDown, like, I don't know. I would, because, you know, Columbus is, what, 2.5 hours from Detroit? That's not that far. So it almost seems like SmackDown would be close, or at least somehow get one, you know? I mean, I guess before the split, for sure.
Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting. I had no idea.
I don't know exactly the rhyme or reason they have for their schedule.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have. But then again, the two tours are going separately anyway, although the TV trucks are what has to make a longer travel, say, from Columbus to Louisville, which maybe isn't that bad. But
4 hours?
It's about 4 hours.
I was wondering how they did that, because I've never put much stock into where Raw was and where SmackDown was the next day. I just figured they had two different trucks. You know, for equipment.
They've got like 18 trucks. I mean, what was going to Detroit is at Joelis Arena, just driving through that area, just like, it was just like this never ending row of trucks. It was just like, wow. I mean, you really appreciate just how big of a production this is. I'm like, damn.
Well, especially with that new set, which I didn't get much of a chance to see it on Raw, but the SmackDown one, when Kevin Owens came out, you'll see in a little bit, Kev, his face is on the ground. It's like it basically took the WrestleMania set technology and just added it to a SmackDown and Raw's set. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. That portrait of Kevin Owens is just happening. I mean, they've been working with these LED entrances for a little while now, but it seems like they've really, since WrestleMania, they've really perfected it. That looked amazing.
Yeah, because when I went to Raw here, and the Raw actually was the first time it'd been to Charlotte in 5 years or something. Oh. They did SmackDowns. But the end zone cast stuff, like the set looked great, but you couldn't see the ground because it was just the ground. Yeah, but yeah, that production stuff, that's, I don't know, maybe that's like regular arena concert stuff, which I don't go to those shows, so I don't know, but it's pretty badass, so more power to them.
I've never seen any further than WWE. I've never seen anyone light up a rampway or an entrance. I've never seen a concert stage lit up underneath, unless it was like something like, maybe you count like something like the Grammys. I've never, then again, I haven't been to a concert in quite a while. I'm not like a, or at least that major, you know, tour.
I think the last one I wasn't there, but it was at that Metallica concert film. They were doing all sorts of cool shit with their stage, but they're known for that stuff too, at least now. Right. But so they were doing like the LED boards underneath them and all that sort of stuff.
Okay. I guess it might be the new major concert tour standard. Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool as hell, though.
It's cool, yeah.
Yeah. That's all I want to say.
The last one I probably would have thought about that I would have put in that category was U2, who I went to go see quite some time ago.
In college?
Yeah. Did you go again? It was right after I came back from Italy, so it would have been my junior year.
Oh, yeah, that was the Zoo TV tour?
The one after that.
Okay. Yeah, the one where they were still sort of interesting.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
No.
But, no. Yeah, so, I don't know.
Yeah.
My limited viewing of Raw, I liked. I don't know. It's funny. If I enjoy a show now, I overlook, like, whatever deficiencies that might be there.
Yeah.
And, like, did they muffle? I don't know. Did you go back and watch Raw, Kevin?
No, I haven't had the chance.
Okay. I was just wondering if they muffled the response for Alexa Bliss. Because it sounded like she was getting cheered pretty well on TV, but...
Oh,
you know, they're known for cutting them back.
I don't know. I'd have to specifically listen to that. She got a very good response.
That came across on TV that she got a good response for her entrance and the win. The middle of the match is where it just got dead quiet. I don't know if you know extended period of just. Of Nia Jax just, doing, her basic stuff or whatever it was but in the arena, did it get seem to get dead quiet during the middle of that match, or was that just something on TV?
No, I would have to confirm that too. Like, when Bliss was out of the match, I think everyone got less interested.
Well, that makes sense, yeah.
and again, I guess that was one of the weirder things too, I guess, about the night, is that the hometown wrestler actually won their match.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised about that. I thought it was a foregone conclusion. Nia Jax was winning that thing. So yeah, that was really good. And they've got an interesting situation with Nia Jax, because it's like, she's there. You need to push her like a monster. But she is so green and clumsy, it's to the point of being dangerous.
Yeah, I missed that stuff last week watching the show when she dropped Charlotte on her head. Like, literally on top of her head. I totally missed that, and then I saw, like, the replay videos of it. I was like, oh, that's bad. But now, I'm with you. I don't know what you do with her. Because even at the end of that match, you know, as awesome as it was, Alexa just stole the win. Nia didn't really look like she was hurt at all. So,
no.
You just had that match, and none of those women hurt her.
I mean, they're still going to go with. It's again, it seems like they run hot and cold with Nia. You know, either they can look past her deficiencies, or they don't. And I mean, it looks like they're going to really try to really, if they haven't already dragged it out, they're going to continue to drag out the Sasha Banks heel turn on Bayley. And in the meantime, you know, go with Bayley and Alexa Bliss, go with Bayley and Nia Jax, maybe Bayley and Mickie James or whatever else they can do. They just drag out the Sasha Banks story. And maybe she'll lose. I mean, maybe Bayley will lose the title once, you know, in the interim too, and get it back.
She is coming. Well, I mean, I guess it doesn't apply now, but she is going to her hometown in 2 weeks.
Right.
So. Yeah. But I don't think Bayley should lose the title anyways. Like, they bounce it around so much.
Right, they do.
And really, why would you do that? Why would you give Alexa Bliss a title already? You know, let it play out for a little bit. But
I guess the argument of that is, why give her a title shot and have her lose her first time out, and then mm-hmm. and we'll have to go back to the, you know,
yeah.
Then go to the bottom and fight back. It's a match we haven't seen. So in the Raw Women's division, that's like a miraculous occurrence to have a match that we haven't seen before after the last, you know, 6 months more.
But it's funny because they've got Emma and Dana Brooke, I mean, I know, and then even Alicia Fox. I guess Alicia's kind of jobbed to everybody by now, but
yeah.
At least you got Emma there and do something. I don't know.
Well, let's not talk about having someone job to everyone and then get a push out of nowhere after what we saw on SmackDown tonight.
Well, see, I was actually going to bring that up because, you know, Alexa comes over from SmackDown and she's now, you know, the number one contender for the title. Jinder Mahal comes over from Raw, and now he's the number one contender for the SmackDown title. And are you done watching the match yet, Kev?
Yeah.
Okay, so Charlotte comes over, and she's the number one contender. And of the three, the only one I've got a problem with is Charlotte. I would have rather that take a while. Like, Becky Lynch wasn't on again this week, so I was expecting her to interfere and cost Charlotte the match because, you know, they got that history and everything. So when Charlotte beat Naomi clean, I was like, oh, no, don't jump into this already. I mean,
I kind of thought that they were going to jump right into it. I mean, they just put the title on her almost immediately. I don't know if they'll do it next week, you know. It's prime for a situation where Naomi gets the win so they can take this to the pay-per-view, but we'll see.
I was wondering if that backstage thing, you know, like all of them are, like, not all of them, but like the women appear to be jealous or upset that Charlotte got the title opportunity. And I'm wondering if that comes into play next week, if they all just gang up on her and she loses that way, or like, you know, match gets thrown out or something to get around that,
right?
Yeah, that's possible, but I don't know. After all this, but that kind of makes Charlotte the babyface. That'd be interesting. Are they gonna go with babyface Charlotte?
Well, they were all heels that were mad at her.
They were all heels. That is very true. Yeah.
And here's the thing. I know it's a storyline, okay? I almost said Naomi. Natalia's got a point. She comes over and just goes, hey, I want a match, and you give it to her? And she goes, that's all it takes? And it was like, yeah, wait a minute, that's all it takes? So I was with her on that one. And, you know, Naomi can have some feuds. I don't know how good Carmella is in the ring. I think I've seen her wrestle twice. We all know Natalya's fine. And then, Tamina.
Oh.
I don't know if she was ever good. I don't remember her.
Never. I mean, she got like some good height and some distance on that on the Superfly Splash. But other than that, yeah, she's got nothing else. Yeah.
But even then, at least they're all heels and they could keep Naomi busy for a while.
Right. Yeah.
And if Charlotte and Becky can do their feud, and Charlotte can still be the heel, you know? So I just, I don't know. I don't want them jumping
in. I mean, keeping all the girls, you know, in the mixes, because Money in the Bank is a SmackDown-only show. And they, at times, like to do two ladder matches. You could possibly do the first ever women's ladder match at Money in the Bank.
That'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be pretty fun, actually. Or, well, they couldn't do this. So I was going to say, hey, why don't you just insert the women into the match? would that be different? Yeah.
That'd work. I mean, you know, either do it for their own briefcase or it's the titles on the line. But yeah, no, that's something to do. If there's going to be turmoil, continue to be, you know, turmoil in the division and they're all jockeying for position, as opposed to maybe just one clear singles feud.
I just don't want to see Charlotte and Naomi already, and burn through that feud like they did with Sasha and Charlotte and Bayley and Charlotte. You know,
they're gonna have two matches on TV in 2 weeks.
Yep, that is a good way to sum things up.
Yeah, guess we
talked about them. Jinder Mahal no longer hindered.
See, I have zero problems with this one. Because, one, no one really knows what Jinder can do. His handful of matches that he's had in his WWE career mostly have been tag matches, as far as I can remember, with 3MB?
Yeah.
Three-man band?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And then he came out, and then he won, like, his debut match back on Raw. I think he won. And then, you know, as a placeholder,
because you know, heat up this match and to build it up, they're going to go all in on, you know, race baiting, you know, and at the ethnic angle, they're going to offend some people. Or bother some people, or what have you. Because otherwise, there's no heat with Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal. Beyond that, it just ruins the title. So I think they're going somewhere.
Yeah, but... Well, Randy even came out and gave him shade, like, hang on a second. All right, Bray. And then he just left. Like, I don't give a shit about you. Which is how it should have been, because I don't even think that's going to be the main event of the show. I'm figuring it's going to be AJ and Owens. Because they talked about, you know, having an Intercontinental title match as the main event. Well,
US.
You know, that's gone, so this would be the U.S. title.
Then why aren't either AJ or Owens the WWE champion?
Okay, look, when they announced that six-pack challenge, I was like, they already did a U.S. title thing. What are they? And they said for the WWE title. It's like, are you kidding? I mean, no offense to Sami Zayn, but no, you knew that wasn't going to happen. At least I didn't think. But they tried to make him look like the star of the match, though, which he was.
Well, he needed to carry it. Yeah, he did really well. Other than Harper, there weren't really any, you know.
Yeah. Trust me, I love Luke Harper, but I didn't anticipate him winning. And then Eric Rowan, really? Yeah. He's got a cool-ass new mask, but, you know, whatever. But, yeah, it was just, I don't know. And then, for whatever reason, the Bollywood boys show up. And where is Jinder Mahal from? I never listen when they announce him. I just go, Jinder Mahal.
It is India. It's not like he's from an Arabic country, and they're putting the Bollywood boys together
We know the reason, but...
Well, yeah, well, he is announced from India. I think I actually looked it up, because I had to make sure. But he's really Canadian, but he's...
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. Yeah, when he started going into the diversity thing, and, you know, is it the two languages I speak? I was like, I didn't know he spoke two languages. Is it my high education? Oh, I didn't know you were highly educated. I don't know shit about you.
Yeah,
so.
that was a little but it feels like we're skipping some chapters here. But again, I don't expect a barn burner rematch. You know, although who knows? But I think that they're gonna go some places with the storyline, and you know, it's usually fun to watch them skip around and jump around these types of issues, especially this day and age. And it's funny. It's General Hall's representing India, which is basically a U.S. ally. It's not even a country we're in any conflict at all.
Well, didn't they start this with, or they did something like this with, was it Mustafa Ali on 205 Live? And he was even going to the cruiserweight. Was it? Well, wasn't there one guy that said, "You already don't like me because of my name"?
It's probably Daivari, wasn't it?
No, because I could have sworn it was Mustafa. And then the people started, yeah, it was him, because then the people were cheering him, and they had to hurry up and, you know, change his tune. Like, well, it looks like I was wrong about these people. That was in the infancy of 205, because he had some stellar showings, and that's when the crowd started cheering for him. Daivari just sucks. I mean, that's why no one likes him. Aria Daivari or Ari Daivari?
Aria.
Yeah. Aria. My brother wrestled in WWE. His name was Daivari. Wait, what? You guys have the same name? That's kind of weird, but it seems like this is what the Jinder Mahal thing is just going to be a play on that. The problem is, he can't do flippy shit that makes himself look awesome. He looks like Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah.
Complete with the PED use.
Yeah, this is just...
Yes, Lou Ferrigno used PEDs, everybody. Sorry to bust your bubble.
Of course, in the most unbelievable, the best part about it is, if Randy Orton has to play Mr. USA with his pink wall, court martial,
he's the perfect person as usual.
I just wonder if this is going to be an RKO out of nowhere 20-second match. Because I'm hoping this Bray Wyatt stuff, which we need to talk about that.
Oh,
I'm just hoping this Bray Wyatt thing is over quick. And then they go to Orton, and he can go back to being the actual Orton I enjoyed when he was on like Jericho's highlight reel, just dicking around, joking around with the crowd. He was actually enjoyable instead of, well, here comes the same Randy Orton we've seen for the last 10 years. He sells t-shirts. Yep. So.
Yeah, he, as JBL always espouses the look of Randy Orton, it's too bad that he has the charisma of a brick.
I know Shahid likes Randy Orton. A lot of people like Randy Orton.
I appreciate Randy Orton.
I've just never been a big fan. And I remember we were in WrestleMania, we were in Detroit. Remember the guys in front of us were Randy Orton fans? And Eric was beside himself. Because they were doing the pose and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And Eric's like, are you kidding me? Like, you actually have Randy Orton fans? And this is back, I think, right after Evolution broke up?
Yeah.
No, that was years later. That was years after that.
Okay. Well, yeah, I've always had that stuck in my head. But yeah. But gotta get through Bray Wyatt first.
Well, and I feel like that's kind of been a weird part of probably both shows.
It's very weird.
The two angles that are lagging behind on each brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, first of all, they've never mentioned a single thing about the title being on the line in this House of Horrors match.
Yep.
And number two, in my dumb shit to English dictionary, I think I made out that Bray Wyatt said he's inviting Randy Orton back to the charred remains of the house and that this isn't even going to be a match in the arena. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a location shoot.
Oh no.
Oh well, and
oh, no.
That was definitely one thing that was not good live. The audio for his promo was pretty terrible.
Because, I mean, they were just added on the show last week. I don't think that they. I don't know if they were ever actually like. You know, there's the, you know, obviously the major, the national, you know, international advertising for the show on the network, and then there, but there's the local advertising for the arena, and I don't know if the two of them have were ever advertised as being on this show. So you could get away with, you know, at least in the arena, you know, hey, we never said that they were actually going to be here.
Yeah, but Payback's in 2 weeks, and I'm trying to think of when, because, is Payback the, yeah, that's the Raw pay-per-view, isn't it?
Yeah, Payback's the Raw pay-per-view.
And when's SmackDown's pay-per-view?
That's the 21st of May, so that's still 3 weeks later, so yeah, we're still quite a ways away from that.
Oh my god. Okay, so that one's going to be awkward for a while, then. Or at least it could be, I guess, since they're on different brands.
Well, no, we just got one more week.
No, all of that is at Payback. Owens, Jericho, and House of Horrors, that's all at Payback.
Oh, yeah. I didn't, okay.
And then Jinder and Randy Orton is at Backlash. Which, I mean, I guess that title is not on the line then, because they're saying Jinder and Randy is for the title. And even with Jericho and Owens, they're saying, Owens and AJ, they're saying that, well, it depends on who it is. So them not mentioned, I guess, yeah, it's a dead giveaway then. I'm just tired of Bray Wyatt, and I like Bray Wyatt. But these... It's, I don't know, maybe he doesn't have the creative control we think he should or does for his character, but after that debacle at WrestleMania, shouldn't somebody sit there and say no? Like, why aren't you just mad instead of going through all this hocus-pocus bullshit? It doesn't work. The best Bray Wyatt match or Wyatt family match was the one they had against the Shield. Because it was just two teams that wanted to prove they were the best. Great match, and it's been all downhill since.
Right, yeah. It's been pretty all downhill since. I mean, they've had some moments of feeling like they got it, they were getting it back. But, you know... Otherwise, but those are always fleeting. You've got a creative team that just loves to write this mumbo jumbo for Bray Wyatt. It makes them feel like they're writing for some zombie vampire whatever type show, some, you know, sci-fi type show. So they just give him all this verbiage that they got just like pent up inside of them.
Yeah, they like to write it too much, so they don't give it up, which is a shame because it something needs changed at least. Like, I don't know if he needs to stop doing the mumbo jumbo or the preacher from the swamp kind of thing, but you know. I think we've talked about it a lot over the years. It's the tone of his promos, really, that's more the problem than the actual delivery. Where it never seems like there's a point. And then he's also had a really hard time backing it up.
Yeah, well, after he wins the title, he comes out and says, this is the era of Wyatt. Cool. Oh, well, I guess not.
Yeah. The era of Wyatt.
And people
were
buying it, too.
done at WrestleMania.
Yeah. And then putting him on Raw out of the blue, at least to me, that sure as hell seemed like it was out of the blue.
Yeah, I think it was. I think that I think he went. He may well have went in place of someone else. They decided to keep on SmackDown.
Because wasn't the rumor supposed to be AJ was supposed to be going over there?
Yeah, which would have made no sense. That would have just killed SmackDown. Yeah,
I don't know. I would have rather seen AJ and, you know, Bray Wyatt instead of Randy Orton. Like, put Randy Orton on Raw. I don't know. Just go over there.
They feel that Randy Orton's the big star to sell the house shows.
Yeah, that's crown. Yeah.
They don't have faith in the rest of the crew, and then, you know, they even sent Ambrose over, who was, you know, in some ways the de facto number one babyface on SmackDown for the entire period of the brand split. So they don't have that anymore. I don't know if I believe in any conspiracy theories that they are purposely trying to tank SmackDown, but especially on the heel side, they were left in a pretty rough place.
Yeah. It's funny. I don't know if you can tank SmackDown. And the reason I say that is, all right, I fully expect Jinder Mahal to get squashed, all right, regardless if the Bollywood Boy's there or not. But they already took Jinder and made him, and as much as we may not like it, he's important now. In 2 weeks, he's an actually important person. Kevin Owens is Kevin Owens. AJ Styles, they're letting him just be AJ Styles, and if the crowd wants to cheer him, great. If they don't want to cheer him, that's great, too.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn looks more important in the 2 weeks he's been on SmackDown. In losses, mind you.
Yeah. You know what? It's hard to take down the two-hour SmackDown TV show. It you know, because it is just a really fun, easy to watch show. It's where you're gonna get in trouble is the 3 hour pay per views, and going to the house shows.
Yeah,
with that not exactly star powered lineup, or at least until they work their magic over on SmackDown and make some of these people really really feel important.
Yeah,
and I guess
they're doing a pretty good job.
That's the one thing that was cracking me up about you, Chris, saying how much Raw won the shakeup. I guess I feel like it's balanced because SmackDown has, to me, more potential room for improvement than does the people that moved over to Raw. Like, The Miz, you're getting what I guess he's been one of the best here recently, but you're also just getting The Miz.
No, I think The Miz's losses felt pretty bad on SmackDown. Actually, I think especially gonna be felt on fucking Smack. Jeez.
Well, but you were worried about the pay per views are more about the wrestling, and The Miz isn't that good of a wrestler still.
He's good. He's good. He's really good at his best. I don't buy it.
Yeah, so I don't know. I like when they get, and I don't know how long Rusev is supposed to be back out for at this point. For SmackDown, but I honestly, just because he's been moved over and been so quiet, they could honestly reboot him on the new brand.
Rusev is awesome. Oh yeah,
fairly easily.
Rusev can find a new lease on life on SmackDown without a doubt.
And
someone who's that good, who has that look, there's no. You can reheat him at any time. Just give him a few wins, some promo time.
Yeah, I mean, and depending on when he comes back, if Orton still has a title, there you go. You can insert him into the mix. If you want, obviously. He can go with AJ. I think those would be pretty damn good. Brute going against AJ. And then, Luke Harper. SmackDown seems to be the show where they're like, here are these guys, you make them important so we can send them over to Raw. Because really, Miz, you know, he's a decent wrestler. His mouth is great. Now the act with, you know, Maurice being there is even better. So what they do on SmackDown, they got him, they got Miz to be more important than he ever has been, even when he was the champion, headlining at WrestleMania. Because remember, he was in that match that was all about The Rock and John Cena. But they, SmackDown builds him up and goes, all right, Raw, we're taking him. And that's why I wouldn't have been surprised if AJ moved over, because that would have seemed like the perfect move. All right, AJ's bigger than we, you know, could have possibly been over here because there's, you know, less cluttered landscape. All right, we'll put him over here and we'll make Raw look immediately important. And, you know, if that was the case, obviously, it would have worked. It would have made sense. Because even SmackDown, like, I was bitching to Shahid before, I like Primo and Epico. Seeing them live, they're good. And I'm like, God damn it, they didn't even get entrance, they didn't get their entrance music played, nothing. And I was like,
they've been beat. It's going to take a lot for me to give a crap.
Yeah. But it was funny because he was like, hey, they've gotten 5 years. I was like, I know, but damn.
Hey. Primo and Epico, wait, that's right.
They've been around a long
because
time.
In my mind, I'm also counting the time that Primo and Carlito were teaming, too. I'm like, wait, it feels like a long time, but no, they replaced one Puerto Rican for another.
Yeah, one brother for another.
Yeah, one brother, yeah. Was that?
Yeah.
Isn't Epico a cousin, not a brother?
Correct. I believe there's a cousin in there somewhere.
Wait a minute, who inducted Carlos Colon? Carlito and...
I think it's Primo.
Oh, wait, did I say Epico?
Primo's Primo's definitely Carlito's brother.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, I got him backwards. Sorry.
So, yeah, Epico's the cousin.
But no, so they all of a sudden win, and the crowd was stunned. Like, wait, what? And so was I, because they didn't get an entrance or nothing. And I was like, well, I'll be damned. So immediately... they've got a little bit of a rub, a small one, mind you. I understand how this works. So that's why I think SmackDown's going to be just fine. And then especially when they get everybody back, you know, because remember, New Day's part of SmackDown as well. So, which I'm confused why they're keeping them off TV, but not that it won't help them, but...
Oh, yeah, it's going to help them, yeah. They need a refresh. They need something of a refresh. Might as well.
I'm still confused on.
Biggie's gotta go to LA and officiate some weddings, so that's. He's gonna be busy.
I'm just confused who's Cornflakes, American Alpha Piston.
Oh man, they're in a rough spot. They're getting nothing right now.
Yeah, I don't get it. I didn't understand the title change because now the Usos weren't even on TV. American Alpha's been on TV more without the championship than they have been with them.
Yeah,
I'm sure the Usos are going to be kind of talking smack later, complaining, rightfully so, about that.
Right, so. I guess the Usos are going to end up in a feud with the New Day, and the thing about that is the Usos were on the list of teams that New Day ran over during their 15-month run, so it's like, it's not anything really new. I mean, I guess, you know, The face heel alignment is different, and you know the Usos are doing their new character. I mean, it'll be fine, but it's just I guess it's a moot point now if the same injury would have happened, but I would have put Dash and Dawson on SmackDown against American Alpha. I mean, it's a match that we've seen before, but the vast majority of the SmackDown audience hasn't seen.
Yeah. That's how I was surprised when they came out on Raw, but I don't know. I know Brian James Road Dogg, right?
Yeah.
I know he's got a lot of say so on SmackDown, and apparently the former writer for NXT is there as well, and it shows. But even then, you know, Raw wasn't too bad. So
I'm still on the train of that. You know, Raw got the better end of the shakeup, so. It's hard with the 2-hour formula they have for SmackDown. It is hard to screw it up.
Yeah. Well, they got one thing that would be nice if they got away from are all these multi-person matches. Every week there's some sort of multi-person, and
yeah,
I don't know what's better.
Just like he said, like the problem with the 2-hour format is that you'd almost have to do that to get faces on TV. You know,
yeah.
to keep them at least out in the crowd. I mean, because I still have yet to even listen to Talking Smack. Like, I guess it's just one of those things that I haven't gotten around to.
It's always an enjoyable show, and sometimes it gets people over, whatever, because they're out of character sometimes. And then when they're back, character is pretty good. It's like, you know, it's like, all right, you know what, this has been pretty interesting so far, but I don't know. It's kind of weird that both shows are good and it's after WrestleMania, because usually this is where it falls apart. But you know, maybe they've learned their lesson.
I'll still give it a little bit of time. I feel like the last couple of years they've kept the momentum going, and then it's screeched to a halt not long before SummerSlam. So
true.
I'll give it a little time, but yeah, I mean, I guess I like the trades for both sides still. Like I think it should be able to work out for both brands in the end. So, yeah, whatever. I guess that's my. I don't have anything else. I don't think either of you two have anything else either.
No, I'm good. It just I guess we mentioned Rosie. Former Rosie died today.
Yeah, that one.
It's kind of sad. I mean, guy's only 43. He's my age. I think it was. I think he was
47.
47. All right. Yeah. That's still like, oh boy.
Yeah.
That really sad. I mean, obviously he was a big boy, a big boy. Never, you know, most recent photos show that he never lost weight. Just yeah. I mean it. It's what happened. It's horrible. I mean, and as we know, Rosie is Roman Reigns' brother, the son of Sika. So yeah, that's just terrible.
Yeah, we haven't had a wrestler death in a while that I can remember. Like of this age, I should say.
And
we got
yeah,
some older guys, of course, but.
There is almost always a suspect in some of those other deaths at a younger age that I do not think is at play.
Yeah,
in this one.
I didn't realize. Oh, sorry, I didn't realize he got hospitalized a few years ago for congestive heart failure.
Oh.
I think that's where the 43 came from. I think 5 years ago, he was in a 43-year-old man. Congestive heart failure?
Like, yikes.
That's what my grandmother had and my grandfather had. They were in their 80s, going on 90s. Not 43. Damn.
Yeah,
he's dead. You know, Roman's brother's gone. It's just awful. There's,
yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, sorry for his family. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it just it sucks. There's not a whole two ways about that one.
Yeah, that's a good way to end the show. So,
bring everyone down.
Oh, all right. Wait a minute. One last thing. apparently WWE is trying to work out something to use the broken characters. So either they're going to back Matt and Jeff, or they're going to work a deal out.
They're actually
going to
pay TNA money for this.
Yeah, I'm not completely surprised by that. Like, because they have been... I was shocked, actually, during Raw that they were interviewed.
Yeah. Well, no, they've been interviewed, and Matt's kind of doing his thing where he's slipping in and out of it. And I'm in favor of actually having a breaking on WWE TV.
Yep, that was just what I was going to.
And not just having them show up at WrestleMania in the gimmicks. Because we've got too many of these situations where, you know, it's, especially with the NXT call up, they show up as these fully formed characters. The audience, the majority of the audience, has no idea where they came from, what they're about. They don't do a good job of explaining it. Let's just do it over again.
That'd be a lot of fun.
I mean, although maybe this time they might not involve Rebby as much. She's about 7-8 months pregnant, but you know, you can still, hopefully you can still involve Singer Benjamin and King Maxwell and Vanguard One and involved. Great.
I would love to see it, but oh my god, I
still don't think we'll see King Maxwell in a ring in the WWE.
But we can always do the hard compound stuff footage. And you know, it's a smart move for WWE because WWE does not want the precedent that talent can walk away from. You know, their company with the gimmick they use there, if they can prove that it was their idea.
Oh. So, by paying out, they're kind of protecting themselves, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, just like anywhere else, if you come up with a great idea while you're working for Microsoft, you don't own that patent, Microsoft does.
Yeah, that does make a great deal of sense. So, yeah, that's a little bit more positive, right?
Yeah, that's what it's the only reason. It's a longer discussion to have, but I just wanted to bring up so we didn't end up on, you know, sad news.
Yeah. Okie dokie. The reason I did not really finish watching SmackDown until the end of the show was because I went to try Combustion Brewery and Tap Room out in good old Pickerington, which is on the southeast side of the great city of Columbus. And it was pretty decent. It's a guy who was the head brewer over at Gordon Biersch, which is a... somewhat national chain, but they do have distinct brewers at each location. He took off from them and is doing his own thing now. So, but it's always interesting getting there first time and then going there at a later date. So yeah, I don't know. I look forward to trying it again. Like it was, both of the IPAs were pretty tasty. The stout and the blonde ale were just okay. So, yeah, I'll leave it at that. I'm at DeFrango11. So, Brand is at Stunt Granny. I will let Jeremy sign himself out.
Oh, yeah, it's my favorite part of the show. Not the end, but just how it's supposed to end. Yeah, before we went to NXT, stopped at Cabarrus Brewing Company. Lots of beers, only got to try two. Interesting IPA. I wasn't sure I enjoyed it. It was a darker IPA, Rocky River, I believe it was called. High IBU, so I was surprised by the color, but check them out. And literally across the lawn is another small brewery. They only had six beers, or was it seven? One of the two, called High Branch. Boy, am I glad we went there second, because we would have never made it to NXT if we went there first. So, quality stuff. Lots of unfiltered, lots of hazy beers. Check them out. I'm out of here. We watch stuff. We'll be gone this week sometime. And, yeah, now my favorite part of the show.
All right. I didn't go to any breweries. I didn't go to any wrestling shows this week. You can follow me at Chris Calamita, where I pretty much just retweets at Steve WRN all day. I got nothing else going on in my life, and I will see you all next week.
I thought we were ending this on a downer. Was there a gunshot I missed at the end of this one?